Your money. The horse pays $29 and some odd cents. Chelsea, who looks like a standout, if you just want to look, who looks like a standout from ordinary handicapping procedures, pays $9.40 to place. Does anybody not see this? I don't want to be spinning my wheels up here. Look where Bulger comes in on the cage end. Second, on the sustained pace, whether you adjust it manually or alternately. And this is a sustained pace situation because you have, your top contenders are all running early. So you want the early horse who has the most sustained. And your two most sustained horses are the designated sustained presser and the best late fraction early horse. Yes, sir.
Should I first, before I do that, where you adjust the pace thing to make them the same, should I first do the pace in a race draw before that?
If you're winning the way I think you are, you mean that's carrying colts to Newcastle?
No, I just want to...
Yes, I would. I definitely, if you don't see it automatically, should I look at the pace of the race, pace of the horse program before I make my final decisions?
No, before I do that adjust.
Before you decide who to adjust.
Yeah.
What I do, quite frankly, is I run them all through on the automatic.
You want to make it
first. I don't care what their energy is. I run them, see who wins on the automatic. Because I know there's no penalty there. It's a normal penalty based on much more normal. Then I use the artificial one that equalizes their total energy, the manual adjust or the two adjust. And as Howard says, and as so many other people have attested to, the horse that survives both, this is spot play. The two horses that survive both are spot play. Yes, sir.
Howard, you left the baseline on that Chelsea horse. He's got a bad habit of dying. He just quit. He likes to
come in, you know. Trouble is, all the horses in this race have some defect of that. You know, he's talking about the horse dies, but if you look at all the horses in this race, your expert handicappers, your mainstream experts will pass this race because they see, wouldn't you pass it? Just looking at it? Is this one of those races where you look at, boy, the winner's a standout? If it is, then you've got some rare insight which you should keep, but this is the kind of race that the computer does the best job with. There are a bunch of mediocre horses, none of whom have really done anything that to excite you. Nobody has really taken charge. The closest thing you have is Biorhythm, but Biorhythm is a need-to-lead horse. And folks, if you can identify a need-to-lead horse, you know, I put NTL there, that horse cannot win unless that horse can get and maintain a lead throughout the race. He had three wins in a row back at Exposition Park up north, and all of them were wire to wire. Well, he comes down here and he can't get away with that. He fails. If he's going to win today, he has to be able to take that lead and hold it. And you can see by the figures that he probably won't. And supposing he surprises you and wins, all you can do is lose the race and there's another one along in 29 minutes. Serious. Any questions on if you have doubts about your pace line selection, if you have doubts, run a bunch of pace lines through and learn from what you get. I'll get to you in a second, but Bruce Jorgensen and other people have told me they're playing tracks like a Long Acre, some of these difficult tracks, they'll look at a 6 and a 6.5, and both of them have about the same speed rating, both have about the same pattern, and when they were being cocky and thought they could be a Bradshaw, they would take, arbitrarily pick one or the other. Well, I got up to Long Acres, and not being a Bradshaw, Bradshaw was in the next room, I never was a Brad. He says I taught him, but I sure did a hell of a job teaching him, but I never learned it myself, what he can do. But I can't tell whether that 6 or 6.5 furlong pace line is going to be the more effective. So I run them both through. And since both of them are good lines, I'll take the best. But I think a lot of you are losing races because you do not run more than one pace line. You do this. I got to think of the first thing you do. Anybody correct me if I'm wrong. This is not all of you, but there are some of you. I got this race. Well, see, I got to find a pace line. Well, that looks pretty good. Take that one. It's like this, with no thought or reason or rhyme behind picking a pace line. It says to pick a pace line, I'll pick one. There, that's the one. And then when the horse comes out on top and he comes in last, you say, oh, the program didn't work. You've got to run this pace line through and look to see how they relate to the other horses in the race. What's the one thing different about this method from other methods? Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's very sweet. But let me tell you what the difference is. And it's written in, we've got it very heavily stressed in our book, Pace Makes the Race. We bet races, they bet horses. The best lesson you can learn is from Jim Bradshaw. You notice if you go up to any of the mainstream experts, any of the recognized famous people, they'll start talking about who they think's going to win the Kentucky Derby in March. You ask Bradshaw, who do you like in the Derby, Bradshaw? He says, gee, I don't know to tell you until I see who's going to be in the race the day before. When the form comes out, I'll tell you. The reason Strike the Gold won is because Strike the Gold was running against horses whose pace indicated that Strike the Gold would win. Every other race he's been in, the pace of the race, the chemistry of the horses in the race did not set up for Strike the Gold to win. So the guy who says, I love that Strike the Gold because he beat that strange little horse in some Florida Derby or something. I love that horse. Folks, love thy neighbor, love thy wife and thy husband and thy children, but folks, don't fall in love with a horse. Mind of that horse. The horse functions relative to the pace it's running against. That's the matchup. The horse does not run well just because he's the horse. Secretariat, we go into why Secretariat lost when he lost in the book. Any horse can lose depending on the chemistry, the makeup of the horses in the race. And you've got to know how that horse is going to compete against today's matchup, not how good that horse is. You bet you analyze a race, not a horse. If you don't want anything more than that, you'll be years ahead when you get through it. Any questions on this process? I've taken us through this. Because, and if you want to look at all the fractions, you can see Bolger at Santa Anita, his median energy was too high, I put no on this, on page 19. The horse is consistent, look at the consistency of the median energy. In the final fraction, Bolger, the last race, the two and the one two back, the ones we threw out, and the Santa Anita maiden win, all three of those, he exerts less than 30% of his energy in the final fraction. Those three races, if you put him in, you ain't going to get him. If you use any of those three races. But the other three, all are very satisfactory, and all will win today's race. So out of six lines, you have three that will give you about virtually the same result in the race, and you have three that won't. Now, if you go out to the track destined to see what can go wrong on that day, you'll use one of the three bad lines. If you go to the track looking at that racing form to see what everything that can go right about that day, you'll use one of the three good lines. So you say to me, well, yeah, but I don't know. We always put the ones that win in the manuals. Well, it costs about 6 cents a page to print these. I don't think I want to put in a losing race. Once in a while we put in losing races. You know what happened? Dick Smith thought that would be a real honest, wonderful thing to do. I'll put in three losing races in a manual. You know what happened? Guess.
Nobody noticed.
60% of the damn audience said, I got that horse! And he made it look like he had egg on his face, like he was an idiot, because half the audience at least were able to win those races we put in just to show how honest we were that we'd give you losing races. Hey! This kid loses 4 out of 10 races. I lose 3 out of 10 races. Even Bradshaw loses races. Grohammer, betting one horse, only claims 38% of winners. Marion spot plays and does obscenely. But spot playing, of course you can. Bradshaw and I don't spot play. We play anything. My son doesn't. He only plays 5 races a day because when he looks at a race,
It says in the yellow manual, when you look at a race, and you don't get a nice bristly feeling at the back of your hair, turn the page. When he doesn't get a good feeling about it, he doesn't know why he doesn't like the race. I don't want to know why. I become a horse player. He doesn't know why he likes it. He just gets a good feeling. And that's the one he selects. And maybe the race you think is a dog race. But he gets a good feeling about it. That's his hot play. And he averages, as he says, a maximum of 5 races a day and wins 3 of them. That's good enough for me. I've done my job. He can support me now. And I'm very, very serious here, and I want to show you this because I don't think any of you do this. I don't think you bother to run an entire history of a horse for a race, even though in the yellow manual we gave you the history of Compliano and showed you how to do it, and yet nobody does it. And then they say, how do I learn how to pick pace lines? This is how you learn how to pick pace lines. You run them all through, all the good ones, all the ones with a plus or a plus within an O. You run them through. And you will be surprised, dear friends. There are not just one, not just 2 or 3, but sometimes 4 or 5 pace lines for every horse, which any one of the 5 would get that horse, or get him where he should be, at least. There's not just a pace line. There are several. All you have to do to learn how to pick the proper pace line is to look at the history of a horse by running 4 or 5 through. Now, did you have to do this forever? Somebody said, I've got to do that all the time. I've got the time to do that. Hey, you have to start by doing it the hard way, the long way. Unless you're winning, you know, if you're winning real big, you don't need to do any of this. I'm talking now about the people with problems. Run the history of the horse. Hey, what do you do? How many doctors do we have in here? Medical doctors, lawyers. Good. What does a lawyer do? Does he client walk in and say, I want to do this? He says, okay, come on, let's go to court. He goes to court and says, we want to sue. What do you want to sue for? No, he studies the whole situation. He goes in and digs up all the laws and precedents involving this kind of a case. He does a total case history, in other words. A doctor has a total case history. He sends it, they get poked in here and jabbed here, and he gets a bunch of stuff. Half the time they don't know what the hell they're reading, but they look at it, and they give you the complete analysis of your biochemistry and your physical status and what have you. You do a case history. Now you suddenly meet the doctor who looks at you, and he looks at your fingernails and looks in your eyes and says, you've got blah, 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 blah. Was he born with that marvelous diagnostic technique? He'd look at your fingernails and your eyes and tell you what was wrong with you? No. He garnered that by running hundreds and hundreds of human pace lines through his medical equipment. Sooner or later, you will all reach the point where doing this, all these logistics, all these exercises, becomes unnecessary. But if you keep going to the race and say, well, gee, there's a 4th rail, I'll pick a line. Well, that looks pretty good, I'll take that one. Or let's see, I better go recent, I better use the last line, or you have some rule, you've got to screw yourself up more often than not. But if you take the trouble to use, I don't care which program you use, phase one will do the same thing. This one just draws pictures of horses. Synergism, you can run through all of them. But run through raw first. See what they do against each other raw. And that's the name of the tune of how to pick pace lines. That's the name of the tune of how to get contenders. You can't get a contender, run them all through. And hey, when you look at the EXCC rating here, just as an example, and you see some horses that just don't match, they're no good, when they don't come running down the track and finish in the top 2 or 3, when they don't stop in the top 2 or 3 on any of the stop action screens, folks, you got a bad horse in there. You got to face it. When you are given the opportunity to run the race before it runs and see how they run across the screen, and you don't listen to the message or see the message, horse comes in last on all the screens. Yeah, but I like that horse. How come you better? I like that horse. Why do you like it? Well, last year it's Del Mar paid $38.50. That was when he's running for $10,000 a day in a $40,000 allowance race. I like that horse. I know he comes in last, but I'm going to bet him. I like it. Well, just what you do is, you run off and you bet it. And you put the ticket here. Now you bet the race as you should. If he wins, you can say, start your unit. Reach your time. But if he doesn't, you still got to bet on the proper horse. Now you've had all the fun of betting on a horse you just had to bet. But you still got the winner. The numbers are there, folks. They tell you which horses do and do not qualify. Now you can go through all sorts of qualifying procedures that don't involve running it through the program. You can just use all sorts of means of getting contenders. But if that's not working, then do it this way. If that's working, hey, bless you, you don't need this. But believe me, I get a lot of long shots by doing this. Just a whole lot of them. I just love to get the, and sometimes they don't win, sometimes they're big place in show prices. But you see things through the eyes of the computer that even the most brilliant, with the possible exception of Brad, well, I gotta tell a story of Bradshaw. He's pretty good. But I've got a little, I wish she was, is Leroy here? His wife has taken up horse racing. And his wife is, she's gonna do something I can never do. Jimmy, you put those to the computer. She says, gee, I'll take the pace lines, you put them through the computer. So his wife puts them through the computer. She's, her ROI is higher than his. She's living high off the hog getting these horses. Right, Jimmy? Am I telling tales out of school? She's doing great. So even the most brilliant of minds, even the most brilliant of analysts, from the standpoint of insight and intuition and seeing things that the rest of us can't see, this Cherokee mysticism of his, even that is sometimes exceeded by the power of the computer. What I hate to hear is somebody saying, how do you pick a pace line? And why ask me? Why ask you and Bradshaw how we pick a pace line? You ever think about why you ask? How do you think we learned? How do you think Brohammer learned? How do you think anybody learned? Anybody got an answer to that? How do you learn?
Pick a match.
By doing it. By making all the mistakes. By running them through until you get a recognition of the pattern that is producing the winner. A young man came up to me today and he's winning, he's just starting. And he's a very nice young man. He probably believes that there are rules governing how you pick everything, and he'll get over that, I hope, by the time he leaves here. And when he did win, he always got low-priced horses. You know why you get low-priced horses? Because subconsciously you believe that the public is smarter than you are. How many of you looked up at a 20-to-1 horse that you had on top and said, geez, I must have done something wrong?
No.
How many of you have? Oh, okay, you're the big pick six winner, but there are people all over the room. Yeah. Should I raise my hand? How many of you who didn't raise your hand are lying? You all have looked up at those high-priced things that you had and said, geez, I must have done something wrong. That horse is 20-to-1. At 10-to-1, you think, well, maybe that's a bold stroke, but, you know, 8-to-1, 9-to-1, 10-to-1, but over that you say, hey, I must have done something wrong. I've known people who have completely not bet on horses because of that. And I'm sure in each of your lives, at least once, even you, one time in your life, did it. You've risen above that.
I let a butcher talk me off of a $100 horse.
Let a butcher talk you off a $100 horse.
After the horse paid $200 the week before.
So even you have made a mistake in that area.
Yeah, but I was 17 then.
17? I don't care if you were 17. It was a very good year. Yes, sir.
My only question is stupid. Why would you put that horse in the first time off
of
the last pace line? Just
to
be some indication.
Why did I put him in off of multiple pace lines?
Off of the last pace line, why would you have put him in as a contender?
Because even off of that last pace line, which is off, I didn't put him in as a contender, I put him in to find out if he was a contender. And I found out that four of those six lines, he was a contender. That's why. I did it to show you how little difference there is from that horrible line and a good line. And that just that minute difference is the difference between winning and losing a race.
this is done as an exercise that you can all do, and you'll see the uniformity of a horse's performance. Mediocre horses especially. Hey, if they're all mediocre horses, you want the best of the mediocre horses, don't you? They're probably going to win. Any questions here?